You're listening to the Gospel Project for Preschooling Kids Weekly Leader Training, helping you teach your kids the big story of the Bible.
Welcome back to the Leader Training for Gospel Project for Preschool and Kids. On this week's episode, we're covering Unit 25, Session 1, the Kingdom Parables from Matthew 13. Karen, as always, we're going to start with the big question of what is the big idea of this session we're looking at this week?
All right. Well, this is, I think this is the first time we start getting into the parables, and we're going to be into quite a bit of them. But in this particular one, Jesus told parables that explained the characteristic of God's kingdom. And he really, you see him use agriculture a lot. So we have the parables of like sowing seeds here, mustard seed, birds' nests. And then, too, he talks about the parable of how the kingdom is like a treasure buried in the field, like the treasure and the pearls.
Yeah, see, that last one, I understand. I did not grow up around a farm or anything. Mm-hmm. I actually made a big mistake when I moved to a farming community several years ago, and they asked me to speak at a youth rally. And I talked about, I drove by seeing them digging up watermelons, and everybody laughed at me. And I didn't know why
until somebody
told me later, Brian, you don't dig up watermelons. They grow in the ground. That's how much of an agricultural noob I am.
Oh, my goodness. How did you see people digging up watermelons? Or they were just I just saw
them harvesting them, picking them up.
Okay.
And assumed.
They were coming out of the ground.
They were coming out of the ground. I mean, there was dirt. They were dirty.
Oh, my goodness. So, that's hilarious. Were you able to stay?
I recovered. No, I recovered. I stayed in that ministry at church for several years. So this one, I mean, Jesus used agricultural quite a bit because people then understood agriculture. Of course, it's what they lived in agrarian society. But thankfully for us, we can still understand these, even if I don't understand farming. The point that Jesus made to those are pretty straightforward and important. So this week, we begin a new unit. So what we want to do is take a brief detour and talk about the key passage and big picture question and answer that we're going to be looking at for this entire unit. So is there anything you wanted to kind of mention about those, Karen?
Yeah, well, just to kind of talk about the key passage, we went with 1 Colossians 1, 13 through 14 for kids, and that's, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And of course, that's from the CSB. And of course, the preschool passage is shorter, and the babies is even shorter. But we just feel like this was a really like gospel project kind of key passage to use because you have that emphasis on rescuing, which is a term, you know, we use a lot. You know, God rescuing us through Jesus, but also like it includes the kingdom. And, you know, how we become part of God's kingdom when we trust in Jesus. And too, this is just a great verse to know, like to even to pray for your lost friends and family, you know, that God would transfer them from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his son.
Yeah, and it could set up some good conversations with the kids and even preschoolers as you work through that and practice it together. What do certain parts mean? You know, I can see a preschooler asking, what do we mean by rescue? Mm-hmm. And it's a good way, in age-appropriate ways, to explain the predicament, to use a soft term, that we are in because of sin. Mm-hmm. And our need for rescue. So it's a great passage that hopefully kids will to take to heart. How about the big picture question and answer? What are we looking at this unit for that?
Okay, this one is how does God care for his creation? God loves and rules over his creation according to his perfect plan. And then preschool, the answer is God loves and rules over all he made. And then babies and toddlers focuses on Jesus, you know, being our king. And I think that you're going to unpack this a little bit more as we talk about the Bible story, Brian. But, you know, God's kingdom is his rule and reign over creation. And so something that we want to emphasize in the Gospel Project is that, you know, while for sure the gospel is about God redeeming people, it's also about him redeeming his creation and that he's going to reverse the curse that sin put on creation and restore it, you know, in the end times.
Well, let me just riff off of that and let's move on to our next area where we kind of talk about any cautions or anything that requires maybe extra prep or anything we kind of want to give people a heads up about. And I'll jump to that one. Yeah, I did want to talk about what we mean by God's kingdom, not we as the Gospel Project, we as believers. You know, God's kingdom is his rule over creation. I think that's a simple way to understand it. What we can say what God's kingdom is not, and it is not a synonym for the church. The church is part of the kingdom, of course, but they are not the same thing. God's kingdom is broader. And in one sense, God's kingdom is here already because he rules over everything presently. But when we think of his kingdom, we usually think more properly of the time when Jesus will return, establish his kingdom in full. And that's where he will set up his reign. He will reign perfectly. Sin will be no more. And the world will be returned to its condition it should be, if not better than in Eden, most likely. And he will reign from that point forward perfectly forevermore. So he reigns presently, but his reign is resisted by many people. His perfect kingdom will come and his reign will not be resisted. It will be embraced by people. So you got to track with kingdom as you read through the Gospels especially. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to say about the kingdom. Jesus talks about it a lot. There's a lot of conversations about it. And this is what we have in mind. Yeah. Jesus has returned to rule over everything perfectly. And Karen, what you said with that big picture question, it's so important that we remember that sin broke everything.
Yeah.
You know, those watermelons growing on the ground are not as they should be. They should be better. They should be sweeter, whatever the case may be. But you know, everything has been impacted by sin. And we see this, of course. We experience this. What's going on in our culture in America today, especially, we see this. We understand brokenness in systems, brokenness in relationships, brokenness also in nature. So this is a really encouraging thing for us to help our kids get their arms around what is meant by God's kingdom and Jesus when he returns in full. How about you? Is there, what's something that you think needs some extra explaining or caution or prep time?
Well, for preschool, I was looking through the leader guide and some of the activities. One of the introduction activities is an ambiguous images printable. And I will say, so just to give you a little behind the curtain kind of talk. So when we request printables, like the things that you print out to use for activities before, you know, we've edited all the way. So I had gone ahead and requested this ambiguous images activity. And that's one of the, it's those pictures where like you can see it and see one thing, but also another. And so when we got it back, we tried it out on some of our preschoolers that our editors, you know, have. And, you know, it was kind of hit or miss if they could see it or not. And so I went ahead and added another little portion to that activity about how we can draw pictures and people can interpret our pictures differently. But I really would encourage you, especially if you have older preschoolers, to try out the ambiguous images. It's really interesting just to see what they see, and even if they don't see anything in it, it still illustrates the point, you know, that Jesus used stories about things that people could see, but they didn't, you know, really see with their hearts, like understand what it had to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just would not, I wouldn't force a kid to like be able to see it or they're going to get frustrated, but it'd be a fun thing to try. So that's one thing I wanted to note.
Is it like those pictures back in the, I guess it was the 90s? Remember those? You would stare at them. They'd be like squiggly lines, and you stare at them, and if you let your eyes go cross or whatever, you could actually see something in it?
Okay, they're not that challenging.
Okay.
Yeah, oh my goodness. I remember the Sunday comics, at like our newspaper had those in them, and every week I would try so hard to see those, and I really struggled.
I say it was a conspiracy by aspirin manufacturers.
What's that?
It was a conspiracy by aspirin manufacturers to increase their sales.
Maybe so. But no, these are the ones where like you could see a young woman or an old woman, duck or, you know, some other animal. I'd love for you guys to let us know if you're part of the Gospel Project Facebook community. I'd love to know how that goes over, you know, if your kids see or not. Or if you do, because some of them, you know, they can be hard to see.
What else do you have?
Okay, so another thing, I thought this was such a great activity that this writer submitted, and it's proofing yeast. I just love it because it, you know, hits that natural learner, and it's just like a really memorable thing. So I would say it does, you know, it's going to require a little bit of prep as far as like getting your supplies together, but it may also be stuff that you just have at home. But keep in mind that the temperature of your room is going to be a factor, so the yeast will grow faster if, you know, the room is warmer. But something that is so fun that you could do, I don't know if your churches are experiencing this, but we've had this surge of people making sourdough bread around the Nashville area. And so I think it would be fun if you have somebody in your church who's like a sourdough baker, you know, to come in and bring their starter and, you know, talk about it. One of my good friends is like really into baking, and she says how amazing it is that God can make yeast just from like, you know, water and air and flour. And, you know, and one of the parables talks about leaven. So I think that's a really great way to make that come alive. So I would encourage you to do it if you can.
And doesn't some of that sourdough starter, some of it can date back like decades, can it?
Yeah. I have a friend at my previous church, and her sourdough was or starter was older than her daughter, and I think her daughter is 41 now. So,
And
yeah.
that's a really cool. That could also, if somebody in a church were able to bring somebody in to show some starter like that and say, this is X number of years old, because it also helps with what Jesus was trying to say, that his kingdom would endure, it would grow and endure, it would spread.
Yeah, and think
Good
how
stuff.
many loaves of bread have been made from
I'm telling you.
that starter. So yeah, other thing too, just supply note, we're gonna do a Trading Pearls activity in preschool that uses those plastic eggs. So, you know, dig those out even though it's not Easter. And I
Well,
double checked, even like you can order those online out of season really inexpensively.
and I know a lot of people, because COVID was made it unable for churches to meet during the Easter season. And I know a lot of kids' ministries had those Easter eggs for Easter egg hunts they were never able to do.
Yeah, true.
So
Good point.
a lot of churches could have those on hand somewhere in a closet somewhere and put them to good use.
Yeah, for sure. Also, coin rubbings. Just whenever you do that, you want to make sure that you're watching the kids closely because for some reason, kids really like to put coins in their mouths. I do not understand it, but I think I did it as a kid, so I really can't judge.
There you go.
And then for babies and toddlers, you're going to make one of the sensory bottles with a water bottle. It involves glitter and small beads, but it's okay because you do it ahead of time and you're going to seal it really tightly with duct tape. So don't be afraid of that. And that's just a really fun way to teach, you know, babies about, you know, God's kingdom and that it's a treasure. Mustard seed slime is another fun activity in babies and toddlers. And also making a bird feeder that uses light syrup. So we definitely have some potential for mess, but I just, again, I'm a really big advocate. I've said this in other episodes of, you know, don't be afraid of the mess. The worst thing that could happen is you clean it up, you know, and I don't think any of these are a stain issue, but they're going to be really memorable activities. The mustard seed slime is going to connect to the mustard seed parable. The bird feeder is going to connect to Jesus talking about the birds. So it's just a really great way to make the story come alive for little guys.
Hey, one other thing I would say, really, this is probably slanted a little bit more toward the older kids and younger kids, but as we are teaching this and as we have time to talk a little bit more about parables, keep in mind that parables were intended to teach one main idea almost always. Not always. We're going to encounter a parable, I believe, next session with the prodigal son, which deviates from that because there's a couple important sub points that Jesus was making it through it. But in general, a parable is a small story to illustrate one major truth alongside a teaching. And so, as you are teaching through these parables, the mustard seed is a good one. A lot of people have said, "All right, I get the mustard seed parable. It grows, the kingdom grows. But what does the bird represent?" He talks about a bird net. What is the nest? And that's when you start going too far. The bird means a bird. It's simply to talk about how big that tree is. It's large enough now to support housing a bird, birds living in it, and so forth. So we don't want to go too far and fall into allegory where we start to try to find hidden meanings in every single detail of a parable. Again, that's the rule of thumb. One main One main teaching, but again, there are a couple of parables I can think off the top of my head, including one we'll look at next week, where you do have a couple additional points. So I just wanted to kind of make that clear. All right, so what are we excited about God potentially doing through this session? And I'll start. I'm excited about kids seeing the beauty of God's kingdom. You know, the pearl, the treasure that's buried in a field, those two parables were intended to say that God's kingdom is important. It is beautiful. It's a treasure. It's of great value, exceeding value. And anytime we get our kids to see the beauty of God's kingdom, that what is in store is amazing, and to yearn for it, to begin to long for what is in the prayer that Jesus shared, that God's kingdom come. So I'm excited about kids having a chance to either learn about the kingdom for the first time or learn more about it. What about you, Karen?
Yeah, along those lines, yeah, I love the line in the Preschool Christ Connection that says, His kingdom is valuable and worth giving everything for. And that just makes me think of that Jim Elliot quote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." And I just think the idea of God's kingdom is, I don't know that a lot of Christians really like grasp the concept of it, you know, me included fully, but, you know, that God's kingdom is the only thing that's going to endure through all eternity. Mm-hmm. And so, especially in this volume, as we move into mission, as we get to the end of it, I just want kids to see that, you know, spending your life for the advancement of God's kingdom is like the best way to live. And, you know, it won't be easy, but it will last forever and it'll be worth it.
Without a doubt. Good word to end on. Let's wrap it up there. As always, we want to thank you for listening to this week's Leader Training, and we hope that you found it helpful as you prepare to teach the Gospel Project for kids and preschool. For more helpful resources, visit gospelproject.com.